A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
This period, you know, every game's been a little bit different. Try to take something from every game. For me, I kind of maintain the same overall thought that, you know, I want us to be at our best at the right time. And we're clearly not at our best right now, regardless of the variety of challenges that each game provides. We haven't played at the level that we want on both ends of the court. That's something for us to own and understand and not just correct, but improve upon.
Quinn Snyder, after the loss to the Houston Rockets last night, tough one to swallow, I think, for Jazz fans who were watching that thing, hoping to get the team back on track before an extremely hard next 10 days for this team. Scott Mitchell across from me, former NFL quarterback. I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us on Unrivaled. So, kicking things off as we always do, though. We're gonna jump right in here, have this discussion a little bit. The Cut is where we start the program off every hour, so let's do it.
There we go. The Unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cup brought to you by RGS Exteriors and Construction. It's a new year. Does your home need that new look? RGS Exteriors can give you that look for 2022. Stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Give them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors and Construction. What's going on with the Jazz, Scott? I mean, last night you're watching that game. I know that you were like me. You went. Well, I think you came in more grumpy today about the Jazz than I did. You're usually the more, glass half full kind of guy. I'm usually the glass half empty guy. But you came in and you were like, this team stinks right now.
Well, I appreciate Quinn Snyder saying, look, whatever it is, whatever challenges, basically saying, look, we had guys out. We had guys playing, you know, maybe not guys playing a lot. And they just didn't. They just didn't make it happen. They just didn't get it done. And instead of making excuses, you said we got to own it. We got to own that this is unacceptable and this isn't what we're all about. But we also know that we'd rather be playing our best basketball at this, you know, during the playoffs and into the playoffs than right now. And whatever gets you to that point, you know, maybe it's going through these lumpy times. I don't know. But
would you call them lumpy times?
Lumpy times. It's like eating that cream of wheat, you know, which I like. But, man, trying to get that cream of wheat without lumps in it, and you get those – and they're hidden. You can't see them. It all looks smooth. But then you get those lumps in your cream of wheat.
As soon as I think we're going to go one direction in the show, then cream of wheat comes up.
Yeah, I haven't talked about cream of wheat for a long time.
Maybe
I liked oatmeal ever. Because oatmeal never – you didn't get the lumps in oatmeal. You make it right. You put a little brown sugar and some butter. Whew.
What was that? Oh.
Nothing is
better.
Did you
say butter?
Yeah, melted butter. Have you never had that?
I mean, I wouldn't
sugar.
Have thought it. I mean, brown sugar is great.
And butter.
I didn't know you'd put butter in your oatmeal. I didn't know you did that. I can imagine. I mean, listen, butter's going to make most things taste good.
Well, yeah, you think it's going to be bad?
Come on.
No.
Come on, man.
What do you put butter in that would actually make it bad? That's what I want to know. Melted.
Ooh, melted butter? Yeah. Now let me think on that. Let me think of that. Okay. Joining us right now on the program, he might be able to help us out with this. He's the Roastradamus. Another night. I think you're 18-2 now on the season, Coach, with the 111 points plus prediction of to get people those Arby's roast beef sandwiches. That being said, that's not a sandwich people want to eat after the Jazz lose a game like that. Come on.
Well, you could actually use it to, you know, settle down and console yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
I tend to eat when I'm stressed out.
That's a good point.
I eat during the show. I'm having to deal with Alex for 3 hours, and it just stresses me out.
I can't believe. Yeah,
I'm actually drinking butter on the show. Is what I'm doing. Just anything to just calm my nerves.
I would say melted butter would not be good in Coke.
In what?
Diet Coke.
Oh yeah, he found something. Yeah. He found something. Scott, see, told you.
Well, the warm and the cold doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work at all. Well,
and it just would get all. But, you know, I was just thinking because I'm drinking a Diet Coke, which is typical. That's usually very, have one.
That's you know what's good in Diet Coke, though, is like a lime or a lemon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, Scott's tough to be with because he'll go, can I get a lime in that? And they'll go, what about a lemon? And Scott goes, I guess. If you have dinner with Scott, he's very particular about the
I'm a lime guy, too.
I know.
I'm a lime guy, too, Scotty.
Yeah. It's different flavor.
Tim, last night I was listening to you guys do the pregame show. You and Jake Scott, of course, always do a fantastic job on the pre, half, and post. I didn't get to hear you do the post game. I did listen to the postcast that Booner and Locke did after the game, and it's just there's one thing to be like, hey, here's how you beat this Houston team. They're not equipped to handle a Jazz team like this. And I think in previous years, we definitely thought that. I think now there's not a game the rest of the season on the docket where you could go, no, they got this one, because of the teams that they've lost to in this stretch.
Yeah, it's been really strange. You know, Quinn brought up a unique, you know, a good point last night. Obviously, you know, there are outliers in this streak. And so I don't know that you can kind of look at the streak as a whole and have, you know, a great deal of crazy concern when Gobert doesn't play four of those games. And, you know, it just changes so much. But, yeah, last night was one that I just felt like, you know, that Houston really kind of wanted more. And that's a tough spot to be. You know, I think the Jazz have really had opportunities to put the throttle down and blow somebody out, and they've lost leads, and we've seen it before to a team that, you know, shouldn't really be as competitive with this Jazz team. So it's a unique time right now for sure, but certainly got to feel a little bit of angst for, you know, if you're watching things.
Speaking of this time, it's getting close to the trade deadline. Of course, there's lots of discussion about potential trades across the NBA and certainly with the Jazz. What kind of impact do you think that has on some of these players and how they're playing? Like, does it have a negative impact, a positive? What do you think is going through these players' minds?
I would think it would have to be negative. You know, I mean, you know what it's like to be in a locker room and be with teammates you really like. You know, the one thing I've talked about for the last couple of years is how good, from a chemistry standpoint, you know, this team, they're not all, you know, they're not all buddies, but they all figure out a way to get along. You know, the locker room's actually been, in my mind, a strength. And so I would imagine it's probably part of what's working against them. I actually ran into Tony Jones, who I love, with the Athletic, saw him last night on the way out, and I just asked him his thought. You know, that was one of the things he brought up, was the uncertainty, right? And so I think a lot of factors at play, but really the most important thing is this is the same team that won, you know, 8 in a row and looked like much of the season like one of the best offensive teams the league's ever seen. So, you know, it can't completely overreact because there have been things that have happened, but I do think the talk around trades, I think the expectation, right? I think the expectation to be a championship team, I think those guys feel that. I think that's part of why they're struggling at home too.
Tim, one of the things I think we watched last night in that game was usually a time when the Jazz put the screws to a team like Houston, who can have a decent first half, maybe even a decent first quarter like we saw out of them. But then they tend to run out of gas, and that's where the Jazz kind of put the screws to teams. Is always have seem to have had a better defense, of course, but they've had such a great offense this year too, and both of those things seem to be lacking last night. And really, I don't want to do the whole, like you were saying, I don't want to buy into the last six or seven that all those games are created equal. But I do think that last night what felt different from the other losses.
Yeah, it was just I don't know how to qualify it, but it was very difficult at times for them to get in any kind of rhythm. I've said it all year long. When the ball moves, I think that's an essential part of this team functioning well. And oftentimes, the way teams guard them, switching, and it stagnates the team. They end up, one or two guys touching on a possession. And I just think that has to have some bearing. But it is the team that has really gone on fire this year at times. So it's in there. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get that rhythm back and how to get that chemistry back out on the floor. And then all the while you're dealing with, people talking about trades and positioning for a championship. So it's a lot to think about.
Speaking of trades and positioning for a championship, I mean, this is a team that had the best record in the NBA a year ago. They were up 2-0, if I think people forget, on the Clippers in the second round. They were close. I mean, they were really close to getting to the Western Conference Finals. What is the solution? Is there a trade out there? Do the Jazz need to trade? Where do you think the Jazz need to go before this trade deadline with this team to make it in a position to go for a championship?
Well, I mean, I think the dire need, is either kind of a refocusing on the perimeter and guarding a little better. I think it's attention to detail stuff more than anything. I don't want to ever indict this team as not playing hard, because that's not what I see. I see also guys that maybe aren't as connected or locked in to certain things. I mean, last night, a perfect example, Garrison Matthews, rookie out of Lipscomb. The one thing that dude can really do is shoot the three. And, the scouting report was, don't let him get a three or make him dribble. And, he ended up getting 10 threes off last night. Wow. So certainly there's some concern there, right? And then at the end of the game, when the Jazz are doing a great job actually locking offensively and the ball gets skipped and Eric Gordon somehow ends up with it and is wide open and he just kind of applies that dagger. It's things like that I think get a little bit, you wonder, is there a guy out there? And certainly there's a guy out there, but I think you run the risk, obviously, of in the middle of a season introducing somebody new. Certainly been done before, and it's propelled teams beyond what they're capable of doing. So, there's a couple of guys out there, that are talked about a ton. Jeremy Grant's one of them. He's a guy who is in Detroit and he's kind of languishing away. Was with Denver, and he's just a big, long wing who's really active. I've heard his name thrown around. And certainly a guy like Marcus Smart, I've heard his name. A guy who's maybe just a little bit different piece in what they have. Not so much a polished, skilled offensive player, but more of a, I'm going to get down and guard and shut somebody down type of guy. Because the real truth of this story is Royce is the guy who gets that assignment, but Royce is not necessarily a lockdown defender. He's probably the best perimeter defender the Jazz have. But I think that's an area they could address if they chose to do so.
Tim Lacombe, you can hear him, of course, pre-half and post-games on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. He and Jake Scott do an awesome job leading into and then taking over for Locke and Booner after those games. This is just a weird time, I guess. I think that Jazz fans are used to there being – it feels like – is there a discipline issue too? Because then there's a part where guys are talking about how poorly that they've defended. And in Rudy's case, he said, there were times I didn't have my teammates back last night. This is after he's criticized his team or some teammates about how they haven't played enough defense. And so Is there a lack of discipline or any sort of problems in the locker room that we're not seeing that I know that we fear the most as we watch this team? It's the one thing that everybody goes, please don't let there be any sort of issue in the locker room. But is that boiling over to something like this?
I don't think so. I get a pretty good read, from the people that we're able to talk to, and then obviously listening to the players and coaches talk night after night after night. I was pretty impressed when Rudy kind of had his issue with the team this week, and Donovan was asked about it. And I think it would have been an opportunity if wanted to. Donovan could have blown things up,
Yeah, and he shot it down.
But he just is like, hey, that's how Rudy operates. And so, no, I don't think there's that. And I wouldn't use the term necessarily discipline problem. I think the way that I kind of see this thing, and it's maybe a glass half full type thing, is, that last year they were on top of their game the majority of the year, and they kind of steamrolled through the league. There wasn't a whole lot of pressure in it. I mean, they're one of those teams that kind of came on the scene. Everything started to click. They were a little proactive in the way they shot threes, and I think it took the league by surprise. I think this year, there's a lot of film on a very similar team, and I think there's always adjustments that are made. And it really is the desire to really kind of fight through obstacles. And, I think there's times in a season where that is easier, and there's times where it's more difficult. But Quinn has said all year long, and it's the piece I take solace in, is we want to be playing our best basketball in April. And if you think about it, the Jazz could be undefeated right now. Just say they're undefeated for whatever reason. And April would still be looming, and everybody would be like, well, yeah, but can they do it, right? It may not be a bad course of action to kind of feel your way through the season, figure out a way to get into that nice matchup, and then let momentum take over from there. As I said, we've seen this team do great things over the last couple of years, and we know what they're capable of. So it's not one of those deals where you need to give up hope. I think it's more of a journey. The season's a journey, and right now the Jazz are just in a lull.
What do you think it takes then to be playing their best basketball in April from where they are today?
I think everybody just getting back to the basics. As crazy as it sounds, this team really would benefit from everybody just recommitting to keep the ball in front of them, doing a better job of guarding the ball, being more aware of assignments and, the communication piece. I know a lot of guys have talked about it. I've heard Rudy, Joe, Donovan, and they're pretty honest that they're decent communicating at times and other times they're not. And I think if you're going to be a championship level team, it's those little things. This team's got a ton of talent. They've got veteran leadership. They've got, star power. What they really, I believe, just get back to the basics. And I think that would be a real positive thing, because I think ball movement on offense and sharing it and not caring who shoots it, we've seen that from this team. It's really fun. And then defensively, the ability, over the years to be able to lock people down, to have Rudy kind of anchor everything, have him protect the rim. So those types of things are the things I look at. I don't think it needs to be a mass change or overhaul. I think it's more just getting back to the basics of what makes this team good.
Tim Lacombe, you can hear the coach on the pre-half and post-game shows right here on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. Boy, always makes me feel a little bit better about things when we talk to you, Tim. So I appreciate that, because then I start to feel a little bit better about everything. I thought Scott always brings a silver lining, but you always have the positive vibes, man. I love it.
But I'm telling you, seriously, think about it. If the Jazz were absolutely killing it right now, what would you be thinking about?
Well, that's what happened last year. That's what we did last year. This time last year, we were like, this team, pretty unbeatable, pretty amazing. And by the time they got to that first seed by the end of the year, it was kind of like, you didn't feel amazing about it. And then here we are. And there you go. So
there may be a different way about this, right? And I think that's what's great about sport. You can tweak things, you can try things, but I still have really good hope for this team. I think whether they make a move or don't make a move, the ownership and leadership is solid. And I do believe there's a lot of guys in that locker room that care. So it's just getting back to brushing a few of those things up.
His opinions are relatively solid. His hair is almost always on point. Tim Lacombe on the program. Thanks for being with us, Coach. We appreciate it.
Love you guys. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Gosh, I love talking to Tim. You know why? Because he's got the perspective. He's got the perspective, man. I heard it last night, too. Locke said the same thing. He goes,
does have good hair, too.
He does have good hair.
Yeah.
And Locke said it. He goes, look, would you rather them doing this? Would you rather them doing this stuff in game 45 or 85?
I use the example of the Milwaukee Bucks. I get it. I understand.
Yeah, but we were saying all that stuff before last night. And then last night happened. I'm fragile, man. I'm like a leaf in the wind. I can absolutely get shifted around, no problem. I will change in an instant. So that's why I'm glad to have like those solid rock kind of people like Tim Lacombe kind of talk me off the ledge a little bit. Let's take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to talk about. We've got the NFL roundup around the corner, divisional playoffs right around the corner. I've got some insane numbers about what Tom Brady has done in these divisional playoffs over the years. The Super Bowl numbers are one thing. But this game in particular on this weekend, this is Tom Brady's weekend, man. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that. Much more to go. Stay with us. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.